plus the fact it also happens to encompass within itself and be built using the unit of measure, the pyramid inch. It is lined up in such a way that if you would take the center of the Sarsen circle, which is also the center of the Aubrey circle, like the point of a compass, and sight straight through the heel stone at summer solstice sunrise, which is a non-deviating point in time, north at summer solstice sunrise on this revolving planet lies exactly that direction. We're talking about true north. And drawn in this manner, transformed thus into a triangle, it is the exact angle of the pyramid, which is a particular angle. No other angle will make a pyramid exactly like this pyramid. Only, that's 51 degrees plus, only, and I'll give you the exact figures in a moment, but I want to keep it simple. Only at that angle will a pyramid, if drawn at that angle, have a height in relationship to its perimeter exactly like the radius to the circumference of a circle. Thus it is called the pi angle. Because a pyramid, you could build a pyramid at a 45 degree angle. You could build a pyramid at an 80 degree angle. The only one at this 51 degrees plus angle that is the exact angle of the pyramid in Egypt will produce a triangle, the height of which has the same relationship to the perimeter of the four sides of a pyramid at that angle that the radius of a circle has to the circumference of a circle. Thus, a pyramid at this angle, four-sided, is a triangular representation of a circle and embraces the concept of pi. Because as the circle, half of the diameter, the radius of a circle in relationship to its circumference, enables you through the use of pi to give you the dimensions of that circle, so does this degree of angle produce a pyramid with the same relationship between height and perimeter that the radius has to the circumference of a circle. At the summer solstice sunrise, which is of particular significance to Stonehenge because that's when they lined up with the heel stone, and north, a line drawn on the surface of the ground, and a cross section would produce an angle exactly like the pyramid. Now that becomes even more significant. The picture's worth 1,000 words. Let's look at it here. 51 degrees, 51 minutes, north, summer solstice, sunrise. Keep going. Now, if you were to do a cross section of the pyramid and lay it flat on the ground with its corner representing the compass point at the center of the Sarsen circle and the Aubrey circle, done to scale now, this would represent north in the utilization of Stonehenge and its sidings to the heel stone, summer solstice, sunrise, The sun would rise right over the Healstone, sighted in through the Trilithons from the center of Stonehenge, and north, true north, a line extending to true north would form the pyramid cross-section, exactly the scale of the Pyramid of Giza. Now let's lay this Pyramid of Giza by scale down with the passages that we've been talking about, including the well shaft, which is set back 286.1 pyramid inches from the downward terminus of this passage and the bend of the horizontal. So we have the inner passages of the pyramid, including the well shaft, which typifies the death holding pattern in paradise and bursting forth resurrection of Christ at the entrance to the Grand Gallery. Lay that entire, not just the pyramid down in cross-section to Stonehenge, but lay it with all of these passages, okay? And something very interesting begins to emerge. You extend a line from 33 A.D., which we've already settled is the point where if you dropped a plumb line down from the opening of the Grand Gallery, get as close as you can, Peter, would mark the death and resurrection time of Christ, A.D. 33. Extend that line horizontal to where it hits the circle. It hits at an exact point where a perpendicular line through the center, perpendicular to the angle of the pyramid, also hits the edge of the circle. Follow that? Go to where this perpendicular line hits the bottom side of the circle and extend a line. Forget the dates for a moment. Just let me cover the dates up. It hits exactly at the point where the well shaft, typifying the death and resurrection of Christ and the rectification factor 281 or 86.1 pyramid inches back from where the descending passage turns toward the pit. And this line of intersection perfectly hits the beginning of that well shaft. Now, let me say it again. Center of Sarsen Circle, center of Aubrey Circle, line up with summer solstice sunrise through the Healstone. True north at that date forms a pyramid exact to scale with the Pyramid of Egypt. On the same scale, draw a perpendicular line to the outer perimeters of the Aubrey Circle. It hits the Aubrey Circle above this point of center at the exact point that a horizontal line on this scale hits the beginning of the Grand Gallery, A.D. 33. Take the same perpendicular line, perpendicular to the angle of the pyramid, to the bottom side below the center of the circle. Extend the line horizontal. Hits it exactly the point where the well shaft takes off. Rectification factor, 33 A.D., the gallery opens up 286.1 pyramid inches. Rectification factor, well shaft bursts through this stone and below the earth surface line, through the stone to blast out at the Grand Gallery, exactly 286.1 rectification factor pyramid inches back from where it turns into the pit. Now, isn't that interesting? AD, and by a factor, Bonnie Gaunt, Stonehenge, a closer look, and I think she has found a key to Stonehenge. She's just a little wrong in her dates, as some of the early ones who discovered the key to the pyramid were. But on the other end of the circle, by the dating of the markers of Stonehenge, 3473 B.C., which she calculates is when Enoch was 33 plus years of age. And here, Jesus, dead and alive forevermore at 33 plus. Now, I'm going to argue with some of her approaches to dating and argue with the precision of this date being the 33rd year of Enoch. Not with the precision of this date, but with it being the 33rd year of Enoch, because I don't think she can determine that with such precision. And that's where you have trouble with students of the pyramid and students of Stonehenge, is they find so much, they want to go beyond the keys that God has given and project their own subjective interpretations to a point that they get into error that then causes people to look askance at the whole project. I'm going to say what I've said several times previous. If that's a valid reason for rejecting the textbook, then the Bible should have been destroyed and thrown away many years ago, because it has to hold the world-class record for attracting people who engage in overkill because of what they legitimately see from Scripture. And if people are prone to make the mistake of overkill with the Scripture, then why should we be so prone to reject other markings and tracings of God because someone justly enamored with the legitimate tracings and markings that are there goes overboard? That's why it's so hard to recommend any books. Rutherford went overboard. Because more than anyone in this past century, he researched the pyramid, became so enamored with it, saw so much that was valid. He started connecting lines beyond that which the pyramid allowed. Likewise, I think this lady has seen a connection between Stonehenge and the pyramid, overlooked by many people, and seeing that as there was a message in the pyramid, a not so clear but still a message in Stonehenge, the principal message being to connect it with the pyramid to show once again some intellect back there in control in the history of mankind, that was a degree or two above the IQ of Alley-Oop. Now, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. As I said, ignore some of these dates. I don't think she nor anybody else can determine the days and years of Enoch that precisely. But I think this date is significant. And I think it has meaning, but whether that date is significant or not, the significance of this ancient circle of stones, or circles of stones, coordinated by a summer solstice, sunrise, and true north, in such a way that it exactly coordinates with these two rectification factors related to the death and resurrection of Christ, to rectify the displacement of man's error, and the connection between the pyramid and a cross section, and these key markers of Stonehenge with the clue, as Isaiah 19 has the key of the numeric value of the scripture as being exactly the number of pyramid inches to the platform at the top, that the marker stones rum-lined across the Mediterranean would hit this pyramid on the nose, and that these dimensions would so coordinate with the redemptive work of Christ is too much to ignore. Someone with more sense than any teacher I've had, other than that which comes from God as His gift, was the architect, and that architect was in both places. And once again, Egypt and Britain connect in some strange way. That's worth pursuing. Why are you looking at me like this? Did you come Tuesday night and this is your second night here? Do you want me to continue or not? I hope you're a little bit stunned at these connections, and that's your reaction. This amazes me. And we've been finding so many of them these past several weeks to you that have listened every night. This case is not being built on just one coordinate. And not a one is varying. This is not horseshoe pitching, where close counts. In every case, it's dead on. How did this happen? And I do believe she's dead on in finding a connection to Enoch. You want me to continue?